In the late 1800s through the 1960s, there was an American weekly magazine, the Saturday Evening Post, which featured various stories of fiction, some nonfiction, debut authors that were debuting their career, such as Agatha Christie, Rudolf Kipling, and others. But the Saturday Evening Post became famous because of its covers, which often featured various artwork from different artists. And one of the artists that were often employed in illustrating the magazine was a local New England man by the name of Norman Rockwell, who grew up in New York City, but eventually moved to rural Vermont and then settled in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. There's a museum of his artwork just down the road from the Shrine of the Divine Mercy. There are two things about Rockwell's work that are prominent. The first is that a lot of his subjects, a lot of his depictions were of ordinary, typical American life. Scenes that you'd find in families or individuals, whether it was the parents who were blessing their children as they went to bed, or whether it was a policeman sitting in a cafe speaking to a patron. His four famous prints were of the Four Freedoms, based on Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speech about freedom during World War II. But the other interesting aspect of his work, besides being of the ordinary events of American daily life, was that they were almost like flesh and blood. When you look at Rockwell's work, it's almost like you're looking at a photograph and that you're actually part of the scene of whatever is taking place. They had this keen ability to observe what most people would pass up in looking at various scenes of life. It was an attentiveness to Rockwell's work. And oftentimes, many of his artists would reject his paintings or his illustrations as not being artwork because they were too conservative or they were sentimental. They called them schmaltzy. But Rockwell's ability to observe, his attentiveness, was key to his avocation as an artist. We hear in the gospel this morning, Jesus, who enters a village, goes to the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. If there is any one family that meant a great deal to Jesus, it would be this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And he probably stopped often at their home on his way to and from Jerusalem. We hear this familiar scene where Martha is busy, anxious, feverishly working to get the house ready to prepare the meal for Jesus. And her sister Mary is sitting simply at his feet, absorbing his word, attentive to the Master, enjoying his presence. And Martha complains, "Lord, I'm here slaving in the kitchen and Mary's just sitting there. Can you tell her to help me?" And Jesus replies, "Martha, there is only need of one thing." Jesus went to their home to rest in his human need, yes, probably to eat and to drink, but more than for him to receive food and nourishment, he went to their home to feed them. And so what he's asking Martha is, "I know you're working hard to prepare a meal, but I'm here. Sit with me. Keep me company. Be attentive to me." And that's the Lord's invitation to each of us every day. The Lord enters into our lives. The Lord comes to us constantly to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us by his presence. And we all know the demands of daily life. There's so many things that busy us. I know that firsthand. But yet, again and again, the challenge and the invitation of the Lord is to step away from all those things that take up our time and attention and to sit with the Lord, because that is what he desires. Not so much because he needs us, but we need him. He wants us to be blessed by his presence, to be strengthened by his presence. Doesn't matter what we can bring to him, but it's what he wants to give to us. And the Lord wants us to pay attention over and over again, to have sort of that attentiveness to his presence every day, to enter into those times of prayer where we can really commune with the Lord and give our hearts to him. The first reading we hear in the book of Genesis, Abraham is visited by the three men, or the three angels. And it's the Old Testament prophecy of the mystery of the Trinity. It's the first announcement of the triune God, that God has hidden the mystery of his oneness in three persons, even in the very first book of the Bible. And we hear Abraham sometimes address the trio in the singular, sometimes he addresses them in the plural. What's happening is the same thing in the gospel. God comes to visit Abraham and Sarah. But as you hear the reading, Abraham is consumed by this frenzy of activity. He tells Sarah, quickly, go to the closet, get the grain to prepare the bread, to prepare the loaf. He goes to the herd to go and get the steer to prepare for a meal. There's this great sense of rushing around in the first reading. You almost wonder, did Abraham, or was Abraham even curious as to why God was visiting him? Here he has the Lord, and he bows down before his presence, as it says. But God is there to bless Abraham and Sarah. And it's told to us in the very final line of that passage, which we hear this morning, that God came to Abraham and Sarah to tell them that they would be with child by the next year. God walked into their lives to remind them that he would fulfill their promise that he gave to them. And yet Abraham and Sarah were so attentive on what they were doing that they almost miss what God had come to do for them. Rockwell, when he commented on his work after being sometimes criticized by fellow artists, he would say, you know, without thinking too much about it in specific terms, what I was trying to do in my illustrations was to show the America I knew and observed to others who might not have noticed it. My fundamental purpose was to interpret the typical American life. What he observed, many other people passed up. Many could not capture in their art. So too, it can be like that in life, that we fail to observe what God is doing in our midst. God is just calling us to be with him, because he has come to be with us, to strengthen and to bless us by his presence. I love these words of St. Jose Maria Escriva, whose mission as a priest was to remind the lay people in the church to search for God every day, to long and to hunger for his presence. So Saint Jose Maria once wrote, he said, God waits for us in the laboratory, in the operating room, in the army barracks, in the university, in the factory, in the workshop, in the fields, in the home, and in all the immense panorama of work that is ours. We have to understand this well. There is something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations, and that is the presence of God. And it is up to each of us to discover him. There is no other way. Either we learn to find the Lord in the ordinary everyday life, or else we shall never find him. That is why I tell you that our age, our time, needs to give back to the most trivial occurrences of everyday life and to their situations, their noble and original meaning. It needs to restore them to the service of the kingdom of God, to spiritualize them, turning them into a means and an occasion for a continuous meeting with Jesus Christ. I love that final line. Turning the everyday things of our life into a means and an occasion for continuous meeting with Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to us often. He wants us to be aware of his presence, to know his nearness, to be comforted and strengthened by him. We gather most especially for the Eucharist this day. How does he come to us? Under the appearance of ordinary bread and wine. He changes the laws of nature so that bread and wine no longer exist, but become his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity. Indeed, God does wondrous things in our midst if we take the time to be with him, to sit with him. We will marvel at the love that he has for us and how much he desires our presence with him.